Now, the cathedrals was the greatest source of light to be found anywhere. This was called divine geometry that they used in their architecture based on Atlantean architecture. Pyramids, if you look at the cathedrals, you'll see they're big pyramids. And they used color and sound and notes of a certain frequency to raise the vibration. So a person could come in off the street, out of the darkness of France, you know, after he's been oppressed by the forces that ruled, into a cathedral and have his soul stimulated and his spirit lifted. They would take up in certain levels in these cathedrals, they would have choir boxes. And in these choir boxes, people would sing, and you would come in, and the sound would fill your soul. And the light through the stained glass window, the different colors, would resonate with you and would also raise your consciousness. They would do Gregorian chants that would permeate the stone walls with sound and energy and sacred vibration, so that even when they weren't chanting, you could walk in and feel it. You could feel peace in a land where there was no peace. And this was brought about by the Masons, the Freemasons, financed by the Knights Templar. And this went on for 200 years because they had so much money.
Did they have the Ark? The Knights Templar had the Ark?
The Masons have always had access to the Ark. It's always been the Masons that have, even in the days of Egypt, there were Masons back then.
The people that they protected donated lots of money and lands to them. And by the time they were betrayed by the King of France, historians figure there was about 50,000 Templars. Yeah. And of course, then they had to go into hiding. They couldn't even tell their children who they were because they'd be killed on sight. So finally they continued their ordinances and teachings, which became the Masons, as we know them.
This was October, Friday the 13th, the Day of Infamy, 1307, when King Philip Capet ordered the imprisonment of all Knights Templar and the seizure of all their lands, property, and money. Okay?
Just because he owed them so much money, he saw that as his way out.
Because these people, the Knights, were rich, and the king wanted it. His coffers were a little bit depleted, and he says, man, look at these guys. They've got all these cathedrals, and they live like paupers. You know, their image on a coin was two knights on a horse.
On one horse.
Now, that was partially poverty, but there's another meaning, and that's because there were two groups that were running concurrently, supporting each other, the Knights Templar and the Priori de Sion, which preceded Jerusalem. This was a group of Masons that came all the way from way, 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 way back, not even of any religion. But they were working together.
Didn't the Knights Templar also make loans to the king? Didn't he owe them money?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. The king owed
them
money.
Did he owe them money? I thought they made loans to give him.
They did.
But
they didn't charge an outrageous amount of usury. Yeah. But they did loan money. They had a lot of money. They built cathedrals. The other groups that helped through the Dark Ages were the troubadours. The troubadours and the court jesters. These were people who were able to educate through storytelling and poetry and music in a way that they could disguise the message. They might say something like, oh, my true love waits for me on top of yonder mountain sea. They're talking about God, but... And the people that are hearing it can understand it, but they can't get killed over it. They can just... So they disguise their message of divinity and hope in their jesting and in their music and in their poetry. And then by using divine notes. Okay. And the guilds and the cathedrals. And then along comes the Renaissance. We got 200 years of a handful of people also raising consciousness about the divinity of the individual. If you study Da Vinci, his teachings were all about the power of the man, you know, and the circle fills the square, and Masonic symbols and things like that. And then Michelangelo, who did the Sistine Chapel, who did David, which I've seen David. You know, he even sculpts the veins in the hands. And he says, I'm creating this beautiful sculpture of art, and I'll be darned if I'll have any clothes on it. And David is beautiful. I mean, you know, so he shows the beauty of humanity, which has been slid underground by the dark forces of the Catholic Church, other churches, other kings, the people that wanted power and control and dominion over the people. So the Renaissance brought out the beauty of the individual. And we are, you know, we are beautiful, and we are divine, and we are a spark, and all those things. Okay, so after the Renaissance, or near the end of it, we've got the Ark, and we've got America's been discovered, and now it has to be colonized. Is that a word? Colonized? Colonized. So along comes Sue, and she says, well, I'll just go to America. It's my wife, Sue Ellen. Thank you for coming. Yay. Okay, so here's what happens. There is a group of people called the Spear Shakers.
Spear what?
The Spear Shakers, and they live in England. And around Stratford-upon-Avon. And they're called the Spear Shakers because they've taken Athena to be their muse, to be their educator, to be the woman in power. And if you studied Athena, she's the goddess of the hunt, goddess of beauty, goddess of art, goddess of a lot of things.
Goddess of justice.
Goddess of what?
Justice.
Goddess of justice.
And the goddess holding up the scales of justice, that's Athena.
That's correct. Give him a gold star. Because she's also here, you'll see her in the Library of Congress, Washington, D.C. She's always holding a spear. And so Francis Bacon comes along, and he is of noble blood. His mother is Queen Elizabeth. His father is an earl. And he is a genius. Smartest man that there was. Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth was the virgin queen.
Yeah, that's what they said. But guess what?
Guess
she wasn't. She wasn't a virgin. So she had a son, and he was like almost like a bastard son. They didn't want to acknowledge him for different reasons. And so they gave him over to his uncle to be raised. She didn't raise him. In fact, Francis Bacon, when he came over and colonized America, the first state that was created was Virginia, and he called it Virginia after his virgin queen mother, Elizabeth.
Virginia.
Because she said that she wasn't a virgin, but he's kind of maybe even mocking her a little bit by calling the first state Virginia. For a virgin queen. So now back to Francis Bacon and his group. He's got this entourage, and they know about the Ark. He's a Freemason. He's a high-level Freemason. He's a 33rd Master Mason. And he has access to all the information that has come through the Dark Ages from the Troubadours and Knights Templar, the Ark of the Covenant. And he says, you know what, we have America. It is a land of opportunity, a place of experimentation where we won't be suppressed or oppressed or depressed or any kind of other pressing will be going on. And he said, okay, so what we'll do, we will shake a spear at tyranny, and we'll shake a spear at ignorance, and we'll shake a spear at oppression. And they were called the Spear Shakers. And he began to write. He was also a troubadour and a poet and a writer. and he began to write plays. Only didn't want to write under the name Francis Bacon. So he discovered this guy also that had the name Shakespeare, and which is kind of a coincidence.